By the way, Ken has his dreads tied up right now. Usually, you saw him last night at the the opening. The hair was
everywhere.
Yeah, just a band or something holding it, right? Yeah. But now it's tied to the back, and he's wearing this really, really fly sash loafers, man. Bro, I can see that hard money is good. That hard money is good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. The hustle is.
The days of disturbing artists are looking far away from you, bro. Far away right now.
And we're changing the game. I teach a lot of students. I teach a lot of young people. I inspire a lot of young people. I even mentor so many artists in Lagos. Mm. Because the concept of art is that we're going to be broke forever. But we can do something personal to us and still not affect that relationship with us and our art when you think of the marketing perspective of it. Mm-hmm. What people think is that once an artist starts to sell big money, the idea starts to water down. Mm-hmm. But it's not watering down, right? Because it's just for you to be conscious enough to realize that, you know, this is art world is completely different from the art itself. Mm-hmm. Right? So when you create the art with that personal perspective, then you can easily take all that and just represent the art world and just represent it in the art world. And that's where the marketing and the intelligence comes in. Mm-hmm. And you know, the provenance comes in, and trying to build the portfolio, trying to build the catalog, everything just starts making sense. So I learned that personally. Mm-hmm. I learned that on my own, actually, by studying great artists like Kenny Wiley and the rest. I was able to like figure that out. And now I'm now teaching other young people, you know, how to be able to do that. So the days of Vogue artists, I think it's over, honestly, in Nigeria, because a lot of artists now are really making it, like really, really, really making it.
What you're about to listen to is a conversation between myself and artist Ken Nwadiogbo, the inventor of a style called contemporary realism. And as you just heard, Ken believes the narrative of the starving artist is coming to an end. He's making great work, making bank, and making sure that other upcoming artists know how it's done. Here's a quick backstory. I met Ken for the first time at the opening night of his debut solo exhibition called A Different Perspective at Retro Africa, Abuja. If you're in town, if you're in the city, I challenge you to go see what this man has done. The works of art I saw that night made it so that I had to have Ken on this podcast. The works were visually arresting, thought-provoking, and bursting with meaning. It's exactly the kind of art you love to see. So we met up the next day and recorded this conversation in the gallery at Retro Africa, surrounded by his works. We talked about Basquiat, Fela, and the daring ability for artists to do whatever they want to do. We talked about the money that is being made by Nigerian artists today. We talked about Nigerians who don't want to come back after they leave, and showing a different perspective of Lagos through his art. And you know what? I think it's no coincidence that his solo exhibition is called A Different Perspective, because that's exactly what I love to entertain on this podcast. Perspectives that make you think, that challenge what you already know. Ken's perspective on social issues is refreshing and thought-provoking. Listen, learn, enjoy. This is a two-part episode, so don't forget to check out Side B when you're done. My name is Rodney Omokache, and you're welcome to The Young God.
You have to kill it. Yeah.
Throughout secondary school, my proprietors just could not pronounce my name. So every time I won a competition, we always waited for her to say the winner. And she's like, Ken. Because she's like half white, half Nigerian. Ken, Ken, just come out here.
So everybody like, knew you're about to win it.
Everybody, like, we always waited for her because I used to go for science competitions and even I won Commonwealth essay competition, so it was always a moment for us to wait. Let's see how she pronounces the name.
So you've been winning for a long time.
Now you put it like that,
right?
maybe I don't know. I've lost a lot. You know, I can easily talk about the wins, but you know the losses are actually more than the wins. If you think about it. Yeah, but the wins, when you win it, you try and make it like a grand gesture to, you know,
cover up for all those losses.
Cover up for all those losses, bro.
It's a labor of love, this thing that we do.
Yeah.
Being artists, being creators, trying to figure out new ways to express ourselves, trying to test our own creativity.
Do you understand? It's a whole cruise.
So Ken,
thank you.
Thank you for joining me on this podcast. We're about to have a whirlwind of a chat.
Yeah.
Those who know me know that I refer to myself as a god, and I only have gods.
I'm happy to be a god.
Yeah, in one way or another. It's very simple. We're gods made in the image of God. And what it means to be made in the image of God isn't to have an eye and two eyes, a nose and a mouth. It's really that creative essence. Yeah. Able to create your world, create yourself, put out things that influence reality, whether it's for better or for worse.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if you're a god, I'm hoping that it's for better
and
for
worse. Yeah.
You know, so Ken is sitting right next to me. He has a... Is that a cocktail or a mocktail?
Mocktail.
Yeah. Do you drink, bro?
I drink, yeah.
You're not drinking right now? It's too early.
It's too early.
So Ken is... He has a mocktail in hand, something citrusy. He's wearing a purple print, head to toe. It's a two-piece, a shirt and some pants. Has a silver bracelet on his left hand. What does that say?
Ken Art.
Yeah. With some Basquiat type motif. Am I right?
Yeah.
I take it you're a fan of Basquiat. Of course you are.
I'm a big fan
of
Basquiat.
What black artist isn't a Basquiat fan?
You know, when you ask us, like, what do we like about Basquiat? Maybe not, because I'm in an entirely different path in my genre of art.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's the attitude.
Mm.
It's the attitude to do anything you want to do. Like, he didn't care. I watched a documentary where the collector told him to repaint a color. Yes, he should repaint a color because color wasn't good enough and the wife does not really like it. Basquiat took the paint. I almost painted it. Showed the paintbrush off. It's a whole documentary. You need to watch it. And it's like he cannot touch his paint. He would prefer tearing the work than touching paint. And for me, I just saw that as the daring capability for artists to like do whatever they want to do. And know that it's fulfillment. If you appreciate it or you don't appreciate it, that is your own perspective of my art to you. So I think that's why we connect to Basquiat a lot.
So that's that God mentality.
Yes.
That I try to put out, like doing your thing and not sending because it's you.
Yeah.
And it's funny because you know Jacqueline Suari.
Yes, I do. Jacqueline.
So she was on the podcast also the day after she did her own exhibition.
Oh, lovely.
The one called Now I Wear Myself.
Yeah,
Now I Wear
Myself. Yeah.
So when she did that, we talked about the same thing, and she spoke about that exhibition being significant of the moment when she decided to do her art her way,
as opposed to
the, you know, the way, you know how the art culture is, the art community, they're very, very, it can be snobbish or kind of like boxing sometimes. So that was her attempt of breaking out and doing her own thing, Basquiat style, sort of. So, like, I love the symmetry that we're having right now. So how do you express that God idea, that God energy in your work?
I paint my experiences. Ella said something, say art is the way of life. If art is the way of life, this is a whole interview. He cannot be singing about relationship or love. He cannot be singing about, like, you know, money or this. See, he's singing about what's happening now in his life, in his society, and the people around him, which is politics, right? Which is the bad government, which is the issues and this and that.
Yeah.
And I think when the artistry sort of transcends to every, because art is inclusive, that's what people don't understand. They feel like if you are doing a show in Dubai, you have to paint the Dubai Emirates, you have to paint like the Dubai buildings, you have to paint the Prince of Dubai. No, right? Then why are you doing it in Dubai when you are showing them Dubai people exactly what they see every day?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you doing an exhibition in Dubai? It's to showcase what happens around you and use that to connect with whatever is happening around Dubai. That it becomes a different perspective of what they experience, and they enjoy the experience, and it's alien to them, right? If you don't watch movies, you will never know how US is, right? If you don't read articles or go online, you never know how some places are in the world. So I think it's the documentation of these places, the ethnographic ability to like document and, you know, put these experiences out there for people to see, that really, really does the transformation. So for me, that's what I do. I just paint my friends, I paint the people, the things that connect to me, the things that I experience. And eventually you see that, wow, so many people are experiencing the same thing. Right? When they come and tell you, oh yes, oh migration, oh, this is how it was to me. And I'm like, oh wow, I thought I was the only one. So yeah, so I think that's the beauty of what art is, and how you can literally have your own voice and have people either connect to it or don't connect to it. That's none of your business.
If you were an artist, what would you be
doing? I studied civil engineering. So I think I would have been a civil engineer. But I feel like I would have given my boss a lot of trouble, because I would have, instead of having the slab like this, I would have tried to design the slab like this, and he would have been so upset, like, can't you just do this?
How dope has the show been so far? For real. If you're enjoying this podcast, do support by following on IG at The Young God Pod and Twitter at I Am The Young God for exclusive content and updates. Feel free to slide in my DMs and let me know what you're feeling, what your listening experience is like, and whatever else might be on your mind. I'm here for it. And by the way, do subscribe and tell a friend.
Paint me a picture, like tell me what it is that inspired the story you're trying to tell with these works.
Okay, so the work, the whole story, first of all, is a different perspective.
That's migration, what it's called, yes. A different perspective.
Yes, migration is just a subject in the topic, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So what is a different perspective? When I traveled to London, I stayed for a year. I traveled and I met some friends there who also just traveled. I stayed a year, and I'm like, I'm going back to Nigeria. And none of them wanted to come back to Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
People, like some of them, like had to like start looking for illegal ways to make some money to stay there in London. Some of them had to file for asylum to stay there in London. And I remember talking about migration as, oh yes, let's all travel. We can learn, we can explore. There's knowledge in traveling. And then I'm coming back and nobody wants to come back. And I'm like, so how would the knowledge that you've learned be useful in our country? Like, how do you want to just carry everything and go and give these people? And you are not even bringing any quality back. Even if it's a masterclass you come and do here, it doesn't still matter. Like, migration is a whole complete circle, right? And people don't understand it. This is why people went to Africa, colonized us, they still came back to their homeland. Migration is just like that. You go, you learn, you come back to you know, bring that knowledge there.
To enrich where you came from.
You see, most successful people, when you ask them, have they traveled before? They say, yeah, I've traveled. They start traveling, that open their mind to understand how best to come here and solve some issues that's going on here. Which, solving issues is money. Solving issues is power. It's power, it's money, it's the creative. But when you see Nigerians out there and they are suffering, they are going through a whole lot of time, they are working in messy places, they are going into prostitution just so that they can be out there, you start to wonder, you start to realize that I know migration is good, but there's a different perspective of migration that people don't understand, which is coming back to your homeland. So the whole installation was like, I just thought of the whole installation about that, which I'm going to explain to you, maybe when we go upstairs.
Yes.
But for this one, for the paintings on the wall, let me be like, let me try and express,
yes,
let me try and design this space for you. So we're in a black, we're in a black room, and each of the works have like specific color. And these colors almost are like filters. When you take a filter, you know your 3D glasses,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, those ones that have blue and red. Yeah. When you take the red filter and you put it in front of your camera and you take a picture, everything becomes red.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're almost like you almost sift out the colors of what the environment is to just give it one color.
Yeah.
And for me, that one color is a representation of that setting. So red is love, green is wealth, purple is power, blue is purpose, yellow is freedom. So for me, that is my own. I like putting all these, I like giving meanings to my colors. The idea was now to speak about Lagos in a different way. Like speak about Lagos, speak about Nigeria in a different perspective, in a different view. When I also, because most of these works, we are inspired by my conversations with so many of my friends in London. When I went to London and told them, I miss like going out and going to the beach. They were like, there's beach in Nigeria.
Wow.
I'm like, what? See, they just thought it was sand, trees, and sunlight. I said, but rain falls in Nigeria. I said, oh, rain falls in...
No
I'm like,
way.
No way, bro.
In 2022,
bro. I'm telling you, bro. And you not blame them. It's because they have a single story of what Nigeria is.
Yeah.
So imagine you can create a new kind of work to show them the lifestyle, the love, the togetherness, the inside all this nonsense political crisis, we still sort of exhibit what, you know... But we're still humans.
Yeah.
We still exhibit love, we still show love, we still come together as a community, we still have our lifestyle, dancing at the back of the bus, we still have our struggles, trying to fight, you know, together, trying to encourage ourselves and build ourselves. And when I thought about it, I was like, I'm a beautiful person. Every time I create art, I'm always looking at the bad side of Lagos. Like, I'm always talking about police brutality, I'm always talking about bad government. But this time I was like, you know what? Let me see all that. Let me give people a very different perspective of what Lagos is, of what Nigeria is, and even give them, I don't know, a feeling of hope. That is not always fight, whoa. Let's try and love ourselves. Let's try and come together. Let's try and be free. Let's try and, you know, let's not see this person as part of a boss. Like as if it's broke. No, it's lifestyle. We are dangerous human beings. Let's be honest with ourselves. We love the danger. We love the adventure. And so I wanted to like represent that in my paintings. So the whole title in different perspective is just looking at the whole conversation of Lagos and Nigeria, but with different, you know, lenses, like in different, in a filters. Different way. Yes, with different filters, in a different way. So that's basically what gave birth to all these works. I just felt, I think it's high time.
And the charcoal portraits that are juxtaposed within each of these, what do they represent?
When you think about it, it's like a portal. You're creating a three-dimensional idea on a two-dimensional piece. Right, and you're trying to represent something inside. There's a portal. How can I represent human beings, but portal you into their consciousness, into their being, into what they represent? Now, we always hear that the eyes is the gateway to the soul. The eye is like the biggest energy that can exist. You can change everything. You can shave your beard today, and I will not recognize you tomorrow. But if I actually look at your eyes, I'm like, it's just not you, man. Do you understand? If you enter a bus and they are turning point in the bus and there's just one seat, none of them looks real to you. They just feel like they're taking up space. They look like cargoes inside the bus. Once you sit down on the seat, you stare around. One person clicks eye contact at you. That person becomes real to you immediately. So the eye, if the eye has that kind of energy, real life, if I can sort of create a lifelike representation of a person, but through the eyes, maybe you, instead of just looking at the person as a subject, trying to fill up the canvas, maybe you can look at the person even deeper and try to understand the story behind all this whole work. Maybe you can try to dig deep into maybe the person's consciousness. Maybe you can feel that energy, like you're staring eye to eye with somebody, and you know that gas, like, woo, like, and you know, it was just to make the person feel realer, to tell you that the outside does not really matter. This, the what you wear, how you look, your beard, your eyes, your nose, the color of your clothing does not really matter. But once you can understand that, to understand a person, you have to dig deep like a portal into the person's soul, into the person's mind. Then you basically start to understand people even better. Then the regular, you know, gardener could be the next big idea. Do you understand? Then when he passes by, you forget all that, but you try to understand who are you. You know, you try to understand who the person is before you can make your own judgment of who the person is. So when I started doing that, I was very happy that I could do that. As a portrait artist, it's quite hard, right? To talk of something very supernatural, very deep, very spiritual, right? All portrait artists do is to paint the portraits of people, right? But with this idea, I was able to, like, you know, do that, like, find that. And people look at my work and they don't know why they like my work. I just feel like that is the reason why they like the work.
Yeah.
Because of that connection they have with that character personally.
Let's take a moment to pause and breathe. Relieve the tension. Whatever you're doing, close your eyes, take a deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. One more time. In through the nose, out through the mouth. Let's resume.
Yeah, I think it's always fascinating when, as an artist, you take your already natural, God-given skill of, you know, using your hands to create a work of art, and then you marry that with psychology, spirituality.
Yeah.
You know, you take it to another level because now you can now be very intentional about the effect you want in someone's mind.
I have so many works I do, and I'm like, nah, it's not giving me the effect. One of the problems with art is that sometimes you don't get it. Sometimes you don't understand it. The artist is not always there to tell you this is what it is, right? Sometimes you don't want to listen to the artist. You want to understand it personally, but you don't get to understand it. I feel like with the eyes, you just, there is an understanding there, like, and it comes from the experience of that person. And that's why I do it hyper-realism, because it has to be hyper-realism. It has to look like the person's eye for you to actually get the point.
To make the connection.
To make that connection.
So that's where I can get the sense of pride you must have felt seeing this flannels and
man.
You know, the coverage you got.
A lot of people connect to it a lot, because one is a different kind of art. It's not like you see that anywhere. And secondly, is because, you know, it starts a conversation. So many people came here yesterday, and so many people told me a lot of stories that, when you think about it, it's like, oh wow, so this works actually, you know, spoke to you in such certain kind of way. And you know, that's the beauty of what art is, that the artist does not need to talk about the work, but the work itself just represents that aura and that message.
By the way, Ken has his dreads tied up right now. Usually, if you saw him last night at the opening, the hair was
everywhere.
Just a bound or something holding it, right?
Yeah.
But now it's tied to the back, and he's wearing this really, really fly sash and some loafers, man. Bro, I can see that art money is good.
Yes. The hustle is
the days of disturbing artists are looking bro. Far away from you, bro. Far away right now.
And we're changing the game. I teach a lot of students. I teach a lot of young people. I inspire a lot of young people. I even mentor so many artists in Lagos. Mm. Because the concept of art is that we're going to be broke forever. But we can do something personal to us and still not affect that relationship with us and our art when you think of the marketing perspective of it. Mm-hmm. What people think is that once an artist starts to sell big money, the idea starts to water down. Mm-hmm. But it's not watering down, right? Because it's just for you to be conscious enough to realize that, you know, this is art world is completely different from the art itself. Mm-hmm. Right? So when you create the art with that personal perspective, then you can easily take all that and just represent the art world, and just represent it in the art world. And that's where the marketing and the intelligence comes in. Mm. And, you know, the provenance comes in, and trying to build the portfolio, trying to build the catalog, everything just starts making sense. So I learned that personally. I learned that on my own, actually, by studying great artists like Kenny Wiley and the rest. And I was able to like figure that out, and now I'm now teaching other young people, you know, how to be able to do that. So the days of vogue artists, I think it's over, honestly, in Nigeria, because a lot of artists now are really making it, like really making it.
So tell me, what's the highest amount you sold in one for?
Maybe 20,000.
Dogs, of course. So how did that feel?
I traveled to Dubai, America, you name it.
Yeah. You went down.
I was excited. And I think the creative idea even grew bigger. Because then I wanted to do more things. I think another problem is that when you make some money, you're just like, oh, let me just go and chill and have fun. But in this case, it's like I have more resources to do bigger projects, to do more projects, right? And that's how this box is going to be.
If you made it to the end of this episode, you're a real one. Thanks again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this, there's a whole lot more where that came from. Just scroll down, you'll see all the range of topics, guests, stories, whatever. I've put in some work for you guys, so there's something for everyone. I release episodes every Saturday at midnight, and depending on my mood, I might release 2 or 3, you know. I can be generous like that. So don't forget to subscribe and leave a review if you feel so inspired. Tell a friend to tell a friend, and follow the podcast on Instagram at The Young God Pod, and Twitter at I Am The Young God, for exclusive content. And just, yo, we're in this, man. Thanks again. Rodney Amokachi out.